Hello and welcome to an impromptu broadcast. I was just thinking how sometimes paradoxes work out. I'm back in the city known as Nottingham. I've been back an hour or so. And, you know, I have to say, I'm having a marvellous time. Any stresses, tensions that I was feeling when I was back up north have gone. What's helped to dispel them, of course, is a very fine wee toque that I was gifted this afternoon. And this was after I'd come out of Zero Barbers, where I nipped in and had my customary cup of organic black tea, and had the pleasure of bumping in rather synchronistically to a fellow who had only a few days ago linked up with for the first time via the social medium phenomenon CIA book, or fuck book, or useful tool book. Anyway, I'll acknowledge it and provide you a link to his Facebook page in the links at the bottom of the episode notes. But he's got an interesting story to tell, a number of interesting stories. Like I said, we bumped into each other on the street, just outside Zero's. If you go onto his Facebook page, you'll see what he's currently up against. He's been tried, I think, for possession of something that the Crown are claiming is a drug, but is in fact a herb, a medicine, a plant. Trying to convince me it's not a fucking drug. Anyway, it's in the Nottingham County Court, and it's interesting. Basically, he's having quite a laugh with it, and it occurred to me whilst talking to him that because the standards are a little bit higher in the Crown Court, you're dealing with less fallaciousness than you are in the civil courts, which are just replete with logical fallacies. So replete with them, you can go in there. It's a bit of a fucking it's a bit of a brain melt, if you catch my drift. Because you can't quite all these logical fallacies and these errors, grammatical errors, just reveal it for what it is. And if you make these points and you put it on the record in the Crown Court, then that's what stands as the evidence. You don't need to enter into any arguments or make any special pleadings. But why should you make? You can't make a pleading until the Crown has proved its case. So anyway, we were talking about a number of options for going in there and just, putting the judges round the head with the 4x4 of logic and honesty. You see, the courts are very tense places, understandably so. There's an awful lot of lying taking place, and lying, as anyone who knows these things, will make you ill at ease, okay? It'll get to you in one way or another. People may be very good at covering it up. Many are artful liars, but eventually it will begin to manifest. Maybe as a nervous tick, as an obsessive compulsive thing, where you keep doing things over and over again. And it's because something is not right in the system, if you like, in the biological system. And the disease, the discomfort is being caused by the fact that you're engaging in actions that, whether or not you admit it, accept it, or can even see it, are demonstrably actions that perpetuate crimes of extortion, crimes of genocide, of highway robbery, of criminal banking deception, crimes of the monarchy, all manner of crimes against the peoples. So anyway, here's a tactic that's quite useful. This worked with me over 4 years ago now, when I was my person was being charged, let me express it as it actually was being maliciously prosecuted by Nottinghamshire Police Force, who falsely claimed that, or alleged, that I and my associate had obstructed a policeman during the course of his duties and resisted arrest. They were alleging that we'd assaulted them as well. And it was all lies. All lies. They made it up. And so they began a malicious prosecution. But anyway, one of the first hearings I went to, because I didn't go to the first hearing on the basis that I don't accept the magistrate's court as a fucking viable option for anything to be determined, otherwise I'm not really worth attending, unless, you know, you've really got to fucking go. And then you do it under protest and duress. Anyway, I went in under protest and duress with my associate, reserved all our rights at the door before we went in, and basically we started off with the questions. Now, this is one I acknowledge. This is from Mark Stevens, who works out of the US, New Jersey. And basically it goes this way, right? So a central tenet of, and this is guaranteed to put a fucking major spanner in the works, right? The logic of this cannot be disputed. Here it goes. Now, at all times, if you're in this ridiculous situation, this theatre-based comedy, whether it's a county court or a magistrate's court, there are a few things to remember. First of all, if you're not enjoying it, you're doing something wrong. All right? Remember, the one thing that defeats their lies is the truth. So you go in, if you're going in as a claimant or a defendant, doesn't matter, you just stand under the truth and you can be relaxed about that. Because they're the ones that are spinning the lies. They're the ones that are creating the tension. You don't want to get sucked into that tension. It's of their making. So funnily enough, the charges are for apparent possession of I don't know how many cannabis plants or cannabis sativa. Not a great number, but I think it's on his Facebook page anyway, so check it out there. And it's just begun unraveling as he stands under the truth. Now this is the next stage. So you go in there. Right, and like I say, you'd be honourable, be polite, but keep asking questions. Ask as many fucking relevant questions as you can think of, right? The judge will start off being very patient. The more you ask, the more wound up he's likely to get, but it's at that point they start to make mistakes. Because you're breaking his concentration. It's a central tenet of law that you cannot have a fair trial if there's a conflict of interest. A conflict of interest, for instance, it would be when both judge and prosecutor represent the same interests. For instance, the Crown House of Rothschild owns it all, therefore that's a demonstrable conflict of interest. Anyway, you go into the court and you say, this is what I did and this worked. And I've heard others have fun with it too. You go in calm, you're standing under the truth, right? You go in and you just start playing a little bit innocent. Because you probably are, well, for a start, you are innocent until proven guilty. And secondly, that gives you every right to ask, you know, lots of questions. You've got to be representing yourself. This doesn't work if you foolishly got yourself a solicitor or a barrister. And this is what what I'm saying will work, because this goes on the record, remember. So you say to him, first of all, you ask him, is this being recorded today, sir? He'll confirm that it is. Okay. So it's a court of record, sir? Yes, it's a court of record. Right. As soon as he agrees it with that, that's him right saying, right, here you go, sonny. Here's the book. You can write down your version. Or you can speak your version, you see. This is the thing. If it's going on to a recording device, you can speak it too. So if you're not confident of being able to wing it, sort of thing, in court, then have it all written down before you go in, probably in the form of an affidavit that you've entered, which just basically outlines the facts of the matter. Simple. It's truth. Won't work unless you're actually standing under the truth. And that, you can read it into the record then. You don't have to say anything else. You just make your point and leave it at that. Leave all the bullshit to them. Because what is, you've put on the record your truth. And don't worry about it if the trial hasn't begun. This is being recorded right from the outset. And if it isn't, then it has to be stopped. So anyway, you say to the judge, excuse me, Your Honour, I'm a bit confused as to what's going on. Can you answer a few questions for me, please? Yes, of course, yes. So you'd be nice and patient at the time. And he said, you'd nod and he's right. First question, sir, is it true that I'm entitled to a fair hearing today? Yes, it is. Right, and would I get a fair hearing if there was a conflict of interest? Well, no, of course not, will be his response. So you nod, scratch your chin, have a look round, take your time with this, take your time, nice and slow. And then say to him, sir, can you help me out here? I'm not been in this situation before, and I'm not quite sure what's going on. And he'll say, well, what do you mean? And you say, well, who's this over here? Well, that's the prosecutor, he'll say. Right, that's if you're the defendant. Right. And would there be a conflict of interest if there's a conflict of interest? You said I won't get a fair hearing. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. Right, sir. So I've got to ask a question. Whose interests does he represent? And you point at the prosecutor. And the judge will, if he's being honest, will have to say, well, he represents the interests of the Crown. So you can say, well, you can take this any way you want. I'm just offering this as a scaffolding for you to play with. So you can say, right, so he represents the interests of the Crown. And then if you want to play it out, you can say, so who is the victim? Who's the victim? And the judge will say, well, if it's a real crime, there has to be a victim, remember. And the judge will say, well, it's the Crown that's the victim. If you push him, he may claim it's the CPS or something like that, but you push him because it's the Crown. So at that point, you've established in court that A, you're entitled to a fair hearing. B, if there were a conflict of interest, you would not get a fair hearing. C, you've established that the prosecutor is the Crown. You've established that the victim is the Crown. We're now left with one of the other party. So this is how you handle it. The name of the judge, this is how you handle it. You say to us, you again, play it innocent, scratch your chin, nod as if you're taking in the information. And then say, right, I can't get a fair hearing if there's a conflict of interest. Sir, and then look him calmly, fixedly, and assuredly in his eyes and say to him, Your Honour, whose interests do you represent today? Now, when I asked that question, having established the facts are that the alleged victim is a Crown Constabulary. In my case, the prosecutor represents the interests of the Crown. When I asked the judge whose interests he represented, and this is how it unfolded in a flash, he fucking leapt up from his chair and scuttled out of the court. Exit right. And to add further drama to it, he actually tripped up on his way out. Now, I don't know if that'll happen in the Crown Court, because they're not quite as... they're a little bit more logical in the Crown Court. They're a bit smarter. And that's where you can have, you know, you can, as my friend's establishing, you can have some fun with this in the courts. Because they are that, you know, the logic may go over the heads of those district judges and who are just registrars and magistrates. Because they're not that smart. If you're that smart, you won't be doing that job. But, you know, they've been cultivated for that level by the state. So, by the end of that, you've established, right, and you can just sum it up for the benefit of the record. You just say, fall on the record, let's just, can I just, sum, these are the facts, as we just established. Number one, the victim is a Crown agency, or the victim is the Crown. Number two, the prosecutor represents the interests of the Crown. Number three, the judge represents the interests of the Crown. So, alleged victim, prosecutor, and judge formed on behalf of the Crown against you. How is that not a conflict of interest? Of course, there'll be a lot of bluster and they'll resist it, but you've got it on the record. Don't matter what they say, because you've established the facts. Just them getting all aerated and blustery doesn't really but what you've just said. Because it's been recorded and it stands as the record. And if you manage that, then you've played a blinder. And ironically enough, given what my mate was being charged with, it helps. Let me put it this way. If you were the sort of individual who, whether through medicine or herbs, can cultivate a nice sense of relaxedness with a keen focus. And you should be. If you know who you are and what you're doing, you can be like my friends from Dharma and be prepared and relaxed about it. If you catch me drift. And it's been 6 days since I last had a drift, if you catch me meaning. And just a few tokes and some medicine has put me in a very, very chilled out state. It's a sunny afternoon in the park. I'm sat here with my heavy backpack, and all is well right now. I'll tell you what, I think it's quite funny. I was also, I don't know what the meaning is, but it's obviously had a very positive effect. I was walking through town, and I can't remember if I've ever, I can't consciously remember having had this thought before, so maybe it's a sign of the times, and the passing of the years, because I found myself thinking, I could do with a comforting shag right now. What some may uncharitably call a sympathetic fuck. And I reckon I've done quite well to get to this ripe old age and have that thought for the first time. So if that sounds like I'm putting it out there rather cheekily, then maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case. Yeah, I was talking with Michael last night, and he said, you know, once you get out of the rest riding, your stress levels will deplete markedly. And, you know, with every inch that the train got closer to Sheffield, so it proved to be the case. Yeah, anyway, so I just want to recount the story of... for the benefit of those who may find themselves in a similar position, but for these bogus charges of fucking possession. You also, this was for representing a guy called Kirk 3 years ago in similar circumstances, but he'd grown a lot more of the herb in terms of the number of plants that the police fucking stole and be stolen. Because remember, you're dealing with extortionists here. It's robbery, sort of robbery, by paperwork rather than by fucking, rather than at gunpoint, you might say. But the effects are designed to be as fruitful. But anyway, your defence, it's a fucking mind game. So maybe your defence is to fucking free up your mind enough to be able to deal with their bullshit and engage in the tennis match, should it be required. So improving one's verbal dexterity and one's levels of understanding will help. It's difficult if you're going a bit dumb. However, Kurt went in there and he wised up to it pretty quick. So basically, he took the stance that whenever they tried to force him into the dock in the morning, he first of all refused to be the legal fixture. He made it clear he was the authorised representative to the name that they were using it, and it was in fact he was there as the man, not as the all capital name. All right. He was there as a man, and he made that point every day. And went into the dock under protest and duress, and he's putting this on the record. Every time it happens, he puts it on the record. So you're establishing the facts. You know, on 3-4 days of the week, I was forced into the dock against my wishes. Well, that's one ground alone for having any verdict rendered unsafe. You've got that up your sleeve if you do that every day. And it's only the truth, of course. You are doing it on the force. Because they're just bullies. They're bullies. They can't do it at gunpoint, so they're going to do it at a fucking psychological gunpoint. Someone's trying to shoot the bolt, if you catch me drift. Or someone shot the bolt. Anyone out there shot the bolt? So, very kindly, I was given a donation. I'll be putting out, in fact, this is nice, because since I got back in Nottingham, I've had a couple of donations. So maybe by putting a thought out there for a comfort call. It may transpire. And just to be clear, I wouldn't regret it afterwards. I wouldn't feel cheapened or sullied in any way. In fact, I might feel downright rejuvenated. So basically, as long as you're standing under the truth and the facts of the matter, which you can establish as the trial unfolds, either by speaking it into the record or by entering affidavits that you can read out into the record, or just refer to them in, when you're asked to speak, and say, you know, refer to my affidavit, paragraph so and so. That's my position. Those are your facts. That's why you're established. They're very stressful places. Courts are very tense places because, as I say, they're dealing with lies. The whole system's full of, it's based on legal fictions, it's based on fantasy. And it's only kept going by the complicity in it of all those involved. But if you go in there and you refuse to comply, essentially, then you've put a resistor into the circuit of their extortion and their corruption. And it can be very, very funny. And if you're doing it right, there will be moments of hilarity as you're able to just stand back and watch it unfolding around you. You know, the levels of cognitive dissonance as the facts are just simply expressed by you in whatever form you choose. It fucks them over, man. They just don't know where to go with it at all. They also rely on fear. But remember this, no man needs to fear the truth, unless he's got something to hide. And that, in essence, is what's going on. I mean, none of this stuff, that's the thing, none of this stuff works if you have actually genuinely caused harm and loss. You've done someone wrong. But if the child is growing some herbs, stand under that fact. Verse 29 of Genesis. God created the earth, all the plants, seeds, abundance there on it for man, for man's use, for his enjoyment. Stand under that, man. It's a spiritual connection you've got with the land, with the earth, with the Creator, who created all this, and who comes between you and the Creator. Excuse me, Judge. I've established my position. No man comes between me and the Creator. Are you trying to impose yourself between I
and my creator. Ooh, where's the judge going to go with that, man? Has he got any comeback? He may not say anything, but that's cool. You just established it on the record, what your position is. You're just adding the points on as you go. Another ground for appeal, should it come to that. If you play it cool, it won't come to that. But as always, it's a case of just standing the ground under the tree. Nice and simple. Same point. Hammer it home. So, for the record, are you attempting to become between me, between I and my creator, or I and the creator? And if he says, what do you mean? You say, is it not the case? But I, a man, is subject only to the law of the creator. And the law of the creator is natural law. Do no harm. Cause no wrong. Don't cross I. Don't cross I. And again, the more of this stuff you just lay it on the record, lay it on the stickers you need. Kerr did it in his own style. Stood under verse 29 of Genesis and demonstrated that he was granted for medicinal use as per the Rick Simpson Run From The Cure DVD that he ended up showing to the jury and the judge. And then he got a conditional discharge. No, suspended. He got a suspended sentence. It was fuck all. Shouldn't have got anything. We actually appealed it, but they fucking denied the appeal. We appealed it on the basis of a fair trial. Of course, they're all part of the same system. Oh, you're appealing to the, you know, it's a rigged game. They're not going to grant that appeal. You may have to push it. But you can always do it through if you wanted to get a solicitor. Someone, you get an, if you're going to use a solicitor, make sure you use him. In other words, you instruct him what to do. It can cut out a lot of the bullshit. The filing of claims and fucking, you know, serving of emails. But you've got to do the instruction. You've got to make sure that they're your bitch and not vice versa. Same with barristers, of course. Yeah, you're listening to Impromptu Broadcast. If you're cool with making a donation and you can afford a bit of credit, then please oblige. There's a little manipulable button on a donation icon at the bottom of the page. It can move up and down. If you move it to the right, that's the best way. Only as far as we can afford. Anyway, all donations will be gratefully received, and I mean any and all donations. And I want to thank Andrew Hardman. I hope you don't mind me putting his name. I like that. Andrew Hardman from Warrington for his donation last week. Cheers, brother. It's genuinely much appreciated. I'll put it to good use, I can assure you. But anyway, this one's unraveling a bit for the Crown. Prosecuting copper, the guy who was alleged to have witnessed it, whatever the fucking alleged crime is, has gone off sick. He's not been in court. He's asked for a trial by jury. He's got to give it. So he was back in this afternoon, and they were going to see what was going to transpire. I suspect it may well have been adjourned. It's a hot potato against him. You know. You're right, you rightly claim it's for spiritual, you know, it's a spiritual medicine that you take, that's been given to you by the Creator. And the law is that you can enjoy and you've got the natural right to enjoy and use everything of the earth. Can't fucking deny you that, can we? Unless it's fucking Dracula. But it's not about getting up, it's just about being fucking true. It's being true, man. You know, this is the thing. Why is the fucking state, these operatives, so keen to keep the people away from cannabis? The fucking amount of effort they make to keep people away from me. You know what I mean? Going around seizing the plants and all of that. I mean, it's a big cash crop. And they want their share, I suppose. That's what's going on, really. But it's robbery, actually. Whichever way you look at it, it's fucking robbery. Daylight and highlight robbery. But, you know, the truth is, once you're dealing with the truth, what you know to be so, what is so, and you know it to be so, that's all the truth ever is. It either is or it isn't. If it isn't the truth, well, it doesn't really exist. It's just a fucking lie. It's a waste of our time and attention. Well, it's a waste of the time and attention of those who pay attention. Or maybe not. I don't know. If it causes inaction, it's a waste of time. It's serious stuff, and yet it isn't serious stuff, because you can tear it apart with logic.
Anyway, that concludes the final part of today's roadcast. And I just wanted to add that having listened back and edited it, I was clearly under the influence of the medicine somewhat yesterday afternoon. And I do apologise if that's caused any inconvenience to the listener. However, as I've stated before, these are essentially organic episodes in the sense that I do occasionally just make it up on the hoof. I mean, I've usually got an idea of that which I'm going to speak about, but as the case was yesterday, I simply launched into the thoughts as they were flowing through me. Anyway, this has been another roadcast. I'd like to thank you for paying attention, and I'll remind you that a lot of the stuff I've discussed and touched upon in these podcasts is further elaborated in a number of the articles, a number of the posts on roguemail.org. If you enjoyed it, if you're willing and able, and you think these efforts merit some kind of credit, then, like I say, please feel free to make a donation via the button on the website, or indeed get in touch with me if you've got any other kind of donation that you wish to make. It's been a pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll say adios for now and catch you on the other side. Cheers.